morning, everyone. On this Lord's Day and the next, we have several people that are joining our church. Today, some are joining through baptism, and so this is a great opportunity to revisit the significance of this important rite. And today, I'd like to have us meditate on the baptism of Jesus. Now, since it is our Lord's baptism that we're going to consider, let me begin with this qualification. We need to understand that the baptism of Jesus is unique in some respects. There are aspects of his baptism that do not apply to those who were baptized before him or after him. There are significant things that happened at that particular moment in redemptive history that are never repeated in any other baptisms. You might think of the sky cracking open. You might think of the Spirit coming down in the shape of a dove and the divine voice that says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." That's Jesus specific, all right? Having made that qualification, it's also important to note that there are aspects of his baptism that are not unique to him alone. There are truths displayed in Jesus' baptism which teach us about the significance of our baptism as well. Before we consider these things, though, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for those who are joining our church today. I would ask that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit as they share their testimonies. I ask that you would give them grace to honor you with their words. And I also ask that our church would be built up in fellowship and love and holiness as they are added to us. So God, please accomplish mighty things through this church for your own glory. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I will give you a moment to get there. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." I'd probably want to eat some wild honey after eating some locusts, too. No idea what they taste like, though. Verse 5, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." All right, now there are so many things that we could address in this section of Scripture, but I want to keep us very focused on the baptism of Jesus. In order to do that, I want to cover these three points. Number one, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Number two, Jesus was sinless, therefore he had no need to repent. And three, this raises a question, why then was Jesus baptized by John? So point number one, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In other words, this was a baptism for people who recognized their guilt and they were determined to turn away from their sin in order to prepare their hearts for the arrival of the Messiah. Notice how this idea is reinforced in the text. In verse 6, the people being baptized, they actually confessed their sins during that time. They openly acknowledged their wrongdoings as they were baptized. And then in verses 7 through 10, John refused to baptize the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were self-righteous and they lacked genuine repentance. John's baptism was only for sinners who were ready to change their ways. Point number two, Jesus was sinless, therefore he had no need to repent. Again, point number two, Jesus was sinless, therefore he had no need to repent. Now, this point about the sinlessness of Jesus is stated clearly in Scripture. Hebrews 4:15, for example, says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." 1 Peter 2:22 says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Now, in Matthew's account, the idea that Jesus had no need to repent is captured by the fact that John tried to prevent him from being baptized. And so I'd like us to just think this through for a moment. John told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that they could not be baptized, and then later on, he told Jesus that he should not be baptized as well. His reason in the first instance was because of their lack of repentance, and his reason in the second case was the exact opposite. Jesus had nothing to confess because he never broke God's law. They wouldn't repent. Jesus couldn't repent. There's also something in the grammar that highlights John's reluctance in this situation. Brian Hedges, in his book With Jesus, made this observation about verse 14. It says, Matthew uses the iterative imperfect verb to stress John's repeated attempts to keep Jesus from being baptized. Here's the significance of that grammar. Again and again, John says, "No, Jesus, don't ask me to do this." Why was John reluctant? Because baptism was a rite of repentance. It implied cleansing from sin, turning from one's old ways, starting new. He knew that Jesus, of all people, didn't need his baptism. Jesus didn't need to repent. He had no sin to turn from, no evil from which to be cleansed. And you saw there that John didn't even just try to deny baptism to Jesus. He said, really, this ought to work the other way around. Why don't you just go ahead and baptize me? And so, in these various ways, this text highlights this very strange occurrence. The sinless one submits himself to a baptism of repentance. And so this raises a question, point number three, why was Jesus baptized by John? All right, in verse 15, Jesus responded to John with these words. He said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." This response indicates that his baptism was not something to be avoided. It was God's plan. It was God's will that at the very beginning of his public ministry, Christ would be baptized by John. Why? Through this ritual, Jesus, the sinless one, intentionally joined himself with confessed sinners. From the start of his public ministry, he identified himself not with the righteous, but with the sinners that he came to save. Here's how Ryken put it. But why did Jesus even need to be baptized? This is a real puzzle. It hardly seems appropriate. John was baptizing people into repentance for the forgiveness of sins. However, Jesus was no sinner, and therefore he needed neither to repent nor to be forgiven. So why was he baptized? The baptism of Jesus was different from all others. Somehow his baptism fell into a different category. The difference was that Jesus did not have to be baptized for his own sins. Rather, he was identifying with sinners in their need of forgiveness. This was an act of solidarity. Jesus was taking the place of sinners. So already, at the beginning of his public ministry, we are reminded of the ancient prophecy that he would be numbered among the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12. If we are amazed to see him baptized, we are all the more amazed to see him crucified. The choice that Jesus made at his baptism was the choice that ultimately led him to the cross. He was willing to be reckoned a sinner so that sinners could be saved. And so he was baptized. Application. How does the baptism of Jesus help us understand our baptism? What truths are displayed in his baptism that help explain our baptism? I'd like to just briefly mention 2 points. First, baptism was a matter of obedience for Jesus. It was God's will for him. The same is true for every believer. The Bible teaches that those who believe in Jesus should be baptized. It's a matter of obedience. Second, baptism is about identification. Through baptism, Jesus identified himself with us. He stood in the place of sinners. Through baptism, we also identify with Jesus. We display our union with him in his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Through baptism, we symbolically die, we're buried under the water, and we are raised back to new life. Through baptism, we take the name of Jesus upon ourselves. We show that we are no longer our own. Instead, we forever belong to Jesus. Amen.